Hey everybody, welcome to Hooked on Crime Pod, the podcast where we talk about hooks and crooks. It is Halloween week. This week, you guys get a new episode every day. So, let's get into this episode where I tell you a very, I have a lot of feelings about this case, but let's go ahead and get into it. Napa rests in the middle of the California wine country and is about an hour north of the bustling city of San Francisco. With the quiet living, you know, around there, you wouldn't really expect three gals in their 20s to want to skip the clubs and nightlife, but that's exactly what Lauren, Adrian, and Leslie did when they chose to become roommates and pursue their dreams. You know, at their jobs, they were very job oriented and they wanted a quieter place to live. So Napa was perfect for them. Leslie Mazzara worked in the sales department at the NIE Baumcoppola Winery. I hope I said that right. Lauren coached and played volleyball and played soccer, and she had a dog named Chloe, who was her baby. She loved Chloe. Adrian Ansonia was an assistant engineer at the Napa Sanitation District, and she too loved to play volleyball. So Adrian had a very close group of friends that included Ben Katz, Lily Prudhomme, and Lily's boyfriend, Eric Koppel. This group was often coming over and hanging out, and they'd drink beer and watch movies and eat pizza and, you know, just chill together. On Halloween night 2004, Lauren came home after a long day, ready to just, you know, kind of hang out and enjoy the fun of passing out candy with trick-or-treaters. Adrian and Leslie were already at the front door passing out candy to the early bird trick-or-treaters. Candy was going fast, but the trio didn't really mind because they were enjoying the costumes and having a good time. Lauren's dog Chloe was an older German Shepherd mix, and she barked whenever the doorbell rang. So when the trick-or-treaters quit showing up around 9 p.m., the girls and Chloe got settled in for the night. And even though it was Halloween, they had no plans to leave the house because the next day was a Monday, and that means work. And honestly, if you've been there, nothing sucks as much as a Monday workday hangover. A lot of us have been there. And a hangover on a workday is just like one of the worst hangovers. So about 10:30 p.m. was bedtime. Chloe, the dog, was let out and a final lock and door check was done. Between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m., the security light by the garage lit up and Chloe started barking. Lauren saw the light from her downstairs bedroom that she and Chloe shared, and she figured some kind of critter like a cat or a raccoon or something, you know, tripped the motion sensor and turned the light on. So she got Chloe settled down and started to fall back asleep, but within minutes, she heard someone enter the house and head upstairs. She thought it could have been Leslie's boyfriend, so again, she settled Chloe down and tried to go back to sleep, but the next sound she heard shook her to her core. And we're going to take an ad break, and I will be right back to tell you. Hey guys, our spotlight artist for October and November is Tanya Corbet. She is an Amy Greeny artist that, when I say artist, I actually mean the thing she makes looks like art. They are fantastic. She has a horror cat collection that is amazing. And she has a pattern for a sandworm that is 4 feet long. And that blows my mind. So I think y'all should check her out. Go to Etsy and search for Tan Flow Con Crochet, which TANFLOWCON Crochet, Ravelry.com/designers/TANYCORBEIL, and Facebook.com/FLOWCON Crochet. Hope you guys have a great day and check out our crochet artist because she's awesome. Hey guys. So, we have talked about how picky I am with my hair before, and if you've listened to my ads, you know that Allison Crawford had done my hair for a long time. Well, sadly, Miss Allie moved on. She is no longer cutting hair, but she did put me in touch with someone who made me feel so wonderful. And I still, like, my self-esteem is negative 20 on good days. But when I look in the mirror now, I still am like, ooh, I look pretty cute. And my daughter, Crime Kid, and I both cried when we got our hair done by her. It's just, she's wonderful. Look for Cara Danielle at The Foilery, which is at 217 West Center Street in Holly Springs, North Carolina. You can go on Instagram at CARA_DANIELE_HAIR. And you can get a hold of her at 919-602-8962. And I 100 out of 10 recommend. So please give her a call today and go get your hair done, and you can feel beautiful too. Hey, if you guys are looking for a cute Etsy store to order things from, I highly recommend Designs by SMC Studio. Go to etsy.com/shop/designs-by-smc-studio. And yeah, I got the cutest earrings, and shipping was fast, fantastically made product, very affordable prices. And Stephanie, who runs the shop, is a wonderful gal. She is a friend. And honestly, like, I hope she does so well and just kicks butt with her side hustle of her Etsy shop. I am super proud of her for going out and doing this. Congrats, Steph. Keep going. And seriously, guys, check out her shop. It's great. So what Lauren heard was actually a scream and a loud commotion coming from upstairs. It was Adrian screaming, "Oh God, please help me." And Lauren ran to the stairs to help her friend. But as she went to the stairs, the intruder started tearing down the stairs right at her in a panic. She ran out the opposite way and out of the back door. But the backyard had a 6-foot privacy fence that Lauren couldn't climb. And she feared she gave the intruder the perfect place to attack her. And so she hid, and she heard the attacker messing with the mini blinds in the kitchen at the front of the house. And after things quieted down, Lauren heard Adrian begging for help. So she went back inside, not knowing if the intruder had left or not, but she wanted to help her friend. And she tried to call 911 from the house phone, but realized the line was dead. So she quietly went upstairs to check on her friends, and what she saw was horrific. Leslie was face down in a pile of clothes with stab wounds all over her upper body, and the floor was covered in blood. Adrian was crouched by the bed, but she couldn't talk as she was bleeding out from multiple stab wounds. Lauren went and grabbed her cell phone and called 911, and out of fear that the attacker was nearby, she drove away in her car. And as she told the operator what was going on, she had to leave. She had to be away from there. Police scoured the area and collected over 200 pieces of evidence, including cigarette butts, microscopic fibers, and what looked like one small drop of blood that could potentially be the killer's outside of the busted kitchen window. Lauren told police nothing had been stolen and over 1,300 people were interviewed, but police couldn't find the killer. 2 weeks after the murders, a candlelight vigil was held to honor Leslie and Adrian. Many members of the community came together to show support, including Adrian's dear friends, Ben, Lily, and Eric, Lily's now fiance. As it does, life goes on, and police were working on the case, still working on the case. A few months after the murders, Adrian's mom, Arlene Allen, went to Lily and Eric's wedding and even read from the Bible in memory of her daughter. Lauren lived in a constant state of fear. She couldn't sleep through the night. She was experiencing night terrors, panic attacks, and even though at this point it was almost a year since that night, she was still living in hell every night because of what she had went through. In September 2005, the police take a closer look at the cigarette butts found outside the scene. After extracting DNA from the filters, They found it matched the blood found by the broken window. With this profile, experts determined the killer was a white male of Northern European descent and would probably have blonde hair and green eyes. Police contacted Lauren and asked if she knew anyone who smoked Camel Turkish Gold cigarettes and who could have matched the profile. She remembered that Eric Koppel, who had been to the house many times, smoked Camel Turkish Gold. He had blonde hair. He had green eyes. And so investigators decided to reach out. Well, Eric doesn't return their calls. He can't even be located. And about a week after the police released the evidence that they've gathered and the information to the press, Eric Matthew Koppel turns himself into the police custody. Before he turned himself in, he sent letters to two family members confessing to the murders of Leslie and Adrian. He said he was going to commit suicide, but he turned himself in instead of going through with killing himself. After family convinced him to stay alive and turn himself in, but even with the confession, no one was sure exactly why he had done what he did. That is until the trial started. And Koppel said he was in a very dark place because Lily had broken off their engagement at the advice of Adrian. And November 1st, 2004 would have been their wedding day. So he had went to a party and he got drunk and his anger got out of control. So he drove to the victim's house and stood outside smoking a cigarette until he busted through the downstairs kitchen window. He says the details of what happened next are fuzzy and he doesn't really remember. But when he ended up back at his house, covered in blood with a knife, he realized he needed to toss the knife, but he didn't know where. He wasn't sure where exactly he had tossed it. And he burned the bloody clothes in his backyard fire pit. So one good thing to come out of this was instead of a super lengthy trial, some mediators worked with the families of the victims and Koppel to come up with a deal. Koppel agreed to a life sentence with special circumstances. And so by pleading guilty to two counts of murder, first degree murder, and lying in wait, the use of a knife, and committing a crime with multiple victims, he escaped the death penalty. So he agrees to life in prison, but he also waived his rights to an appeal and agreed that he would never and could never financially profit from either of the deaths. Lily Koppel stated at his sentencing she believed that depression and alcohol led Eric to kill her friends. She said that in the days before he confessed, she knew something was bothering him, and she told him that there was nothing he could have done to make her love him any less, and that she really meant that, and she still loves him the same, even after all of this. She's a bigger woman than me, I've got to be honest. I don't know that I could do that, and I hope to never be in a position to have that, be tested that way. Koppel addressed his victims' families, telling them that he did not want to take the answers to his grave, and he swore that he had told the police the truth when he confessed. Adrian's mother, Arlene Allen, pounded her fist on the podium multiple times, showing the stabbing motion Eric used to take her daughter's life. Arlene said, "My baby never wore a turtleneck sweater in her life, and yet she had to be buried in one. And it still couldn't hide the extent of her wounds. You're the man who is so cruel as to invite me, the mother of the woman you murdered, to stand up for you at your wedding, to read scripture to you of love and death, and to bless your union throughout the weekend, bringing me into the heart of your family, knowing all the while that it was you who had destroyed mine." Eric Koppel hung his head and clasped his hands as if he was in prayer, as Arlene continued, "You will be forgotten. When that door closes behind you today, I will think of you no more." I don't know that I could ever imagine what Arlene had felt when she found out the murderer of her daughter had had her be a part of his wedding. And to find out that it was someone that was so close to her family, I hope that in this time since that Lauren has found some peace and that Leslie and Adrian's families have started to heal. And that is the end of the story. I hope you guys join me back tomorrow for the continuation of Halloween week. Thank you for your time and have a great one.